Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In the case of the president, do you get a sense that his regular attendance and adherence to the faith resonates with American Catholics?
There is a phrase, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
We are entering a post-Christian era. We are not going to be able to live off of the inheritance of a Christianity that is being rejected and is being slewed off right now.
There were specific strategies that the church used in many churches to grow the congregations that focused less on discipleship and biblical fidelity and even biblical literacy. And I think that that has produced a large amount of people in our churches that might not even really be Christians.
Easter is a time of triumph and joy. Easter is a time when we can rejoice together that Jesus has conquered death by his death.
I love listening to issues, etc., while riding my bike on the street of Beijing, China.
This is a big story, an enormous story. The U.S. military is a very important institution, not only to the United States, but to countries around the world, as we constantly are reminded by other headlines involving foreign policy. And this is a story that's been in the making about 20 years. New poll spells trouble for U.S. military recruitment woes. That's Newsweek's headline. Are you hearing much about that in the rest of the media? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 4th of April. We'll be talking with Terry Mattingly, author of the National On Religion column, about media coverage of missed recruitment goals in the U.S. military. There's some ghosts hiding there. Pastor Tom Baker will join us from Long Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' healing at the Pool of Bethesda. And then Pastor Chris Roseborough, our feature this week in Pop Christianity Today, Troy Brewer's prophecies about the 2024 solar eclipse. Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow on communications and culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate. And for the last two decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
The state of the U.S. military is a big issue. Why isn't the recruiting shortfall, and it's not insignificant, and it's been going on for a couple of years, why is it not getting major elite media coverage?
This is getting more and more common in our discussions, where we have to be discussing not the coverage of a particular story, but discussing why it isn't getting coverage, and more specifically, why it isn't getting coverage in elite and mainstream media, while it may be getting coverage in alternative, often conservative or religious media. And any attempt to answer has to involve a certain degree of conjecture. But I was reminded of something when I was doing some research, looking up information related to this trend, and I thought back to something that happened to me. Boy, this is going to be a big flashback. This was in the late 70s, and I was doing research for my master's project in the Department of Church-State Studies at Baylor University. And I was writing about the 1969 Vietnam War Moratorium, which is historically the largest demonstration in the modern era of the United States and potentially the largest day of demonstrations ever. And I got on the train from Champaign-Urbana, and I went up to Chicago to meet with the legendary church historian Martin Marty, because I was dealing with a term related to civil religion on which Marty was the primary authority. But I needed to ask him also about a research problem I was having, which is, I mean, even though we're dealing with the Vietnam War, that's a huge story. The Vietnam War moratorium, that's a huge story. And suddenly, after choosing this as my master's degree project, I discovered there are no books on the subject. Now, that's a pretty big obstacle when you're going to try to write a graduate project about something. And I asked Dr. Marty, why are there no books about this huge, very important event in American history? And Marty, who is, has always been known as kind of a mainstream liberal in the old sense of the word, pro-First Amendment, et cetera, an old-style mainstream liberal, Martin Marty said, well, you need to understand that in academia and in journalism, the left doesn't write books about its failures. And this was considered a failure because even though the day was huge, massive story, major impact, but it didn't accomplish its goals. And eventually the leaders of this movement fell apart in disagreements and the thing splintered and died. And what he was suggesting was that negative outcome prevented journalists from writing much more about the death of this movement at the time, and has prevented scholars, historians, political scientists, overwhelmingly liberal, from writing about it. And by the way, and conservatives probably didn't want to write about it that much because it was a liberal effort. So what does that have to do with the story we're discussing? The military is something that we've thought of for generations as a primarily conservative institution in American life. Patriotism, God, country, defend America. And now the U.S. military is at the heart of a lot of very progressive cultural and moral trends in American life, in part because it's so overtly political. It's controlled essentially by the administration that's in power at the time. Thus, we saw Donald Trump trying to do things with executive orders with the military. And then we have Joe Biden and his team now doing things with the military by executive orders. So if all of a sudden you have a very strong fall off in recruiting for the military, as you said, that's a huge issue. But is that something the White House is going to be really happy to talk about right now? By its very nature, they're not. And then if you look at it through the lens, of course, as I always tend to do, of cultural, moral, and religious issues, is the press, A, going to cover this story? And B, is it going to ask cultural, moral, and religious questions that I believe you can't not ask those questions and cover this story? Now, there are definitely economic issues that are affecting military recruiting right now, and they're related to a lot of things that are in the news right now, like inflation and healthcare costs and healthcare complicated issues and childcare costs and a host of other things, none of which are particularly happy trends. I don't want to deny at all today that the economic trends, which are the focus of pretty much the only coverage that we're finding about this, such as in the official Stars and Stripes publication, I'm still looking. This Blue Star Family poll, and of course a Blue Star Family is the inner core of the military community, is Blue Star Families, people who have had people serve in the military before. And when all of a sudden you find out that Blue Star Families are no longer recommending their children serve in the military, well, when the military, the backbone of the military, its previous families, when these people stop recommending their own children and grandchildren to go into the military. That's a huge issue. Well, why are they doing that? The Stars and Stripes story is completely based on economic issues. And once again, I want to stress that those issues are real, but I think there are a lot of moral, cultural, and even religious issues that are linked to this as well.
We have been following this story via the track of kind of the U.S. military going woke, to put it in kind of shorthand, for a couple years now. And I will routinely hear from listeners after one of those interviews with Elaine Donnelly, who I believe is quoted somewhere in some of the coverage here. They will say, yeah, I served, or my dad served, and it's not the same institution it used to be. I don't know if they're Blue Star families, but they're saying, look, this is not the institution that I came through, all branches of the military. How much do the policies, the diversity, equity, inclusion policies, the, again, for lack of a better word, the woke policies of the U.S. military, how much of that is affecting people who have religious objections to those things?
Well, I think that's definitely an issue, but I think we need to then look at another layer behind that. The minute you start having falling numbers of people entering the military, all kinds of personnel issues are going to come up. And let me just pick one that has moral, you know, issues related to it for many Americans. And the Americans who are concerned about the issue of women in combat, the feelings about that issue often breaks down according to America's red and blue zip code divide. But the minute you ask about women in combat, you end up with how do you protect women in combat? How do you put them in frontline units with men? What happens then to health issues? What happens to housing issues, to health care? You also inevitably end up with questions related to, well, in the Me Too era and sexual harassment issues. The military has had a major problem with that. And, you know, that's nothing new. But growing out of that, you end up with abortion as a major issue. I just ran a Google search for Dobbs' decision, of course, the decision overturning Roe. Dobbs' decision, Biden, abortion, military. I searched for those terms. And you would be amazed, or maybe not amazed, at how immediately the U.S. military had to respond in opposition to Dobbs. I believe there was at one point a proposal, since the military, the U.S. government controls the land on which military bases are located. I believe at one point there was floated the whole idea, well, what if you put an abortion facility on all U.S. military bases, even in states like Texas and Florida, Alabama, and other areas that are more conservative on issues of right-to-life issues? And then you start talking about if we have declining numbers of marriages in America, what is the relationship between single parenting in the military or just large numbers of single adults in the military? Because then you start talking about what kind of families produce children who want to go into the military. You end up having to kind of think that the military has become a kind of politically defined corporation. And when you're looking at recruiting issues, you're having to stop and think about how successful are these policies at producing people who want to work in this corporation, who work for this corporation. And so this Blue Star report, the Missing Data Depot put out a simple chart on this. Among the, in this poll of Blue Star families, active duty family respondents, the percentage likely to recommend military service to other members of their families, the likely fell from 55% in 2016 to it's now down to about 30% in the most recent numbers from 2022-2023. Meanwhile, the unlikely to recommend military service numbers have grown from 15% in 2016, and they're now up to 30-31%. So in effect, the likely to recommend has fallen to the point where we now have it matching the percentage of military families who would recommend that their children not serve in the military. And that's huge when you consider, as Rod Dreher did in a post he did about this, that 80% of new Army recruits have a family member who serves or has served before. So the minute you start driving away your military families, for whatever reasons, whether economic, moral, religious, whatever, you start driving away those families and you're in effect killing the lifeblood of the military services.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of missed recruitment goals in the U.S. military. Would it be a good idea for some enterprising journalist who wants to cover this story to talk to a few military chaplains?
This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, Aaron Wren of the American Conservative, and others for the 2024 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, July 12th and 13th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Memoria Press, the Simply Classical curriculum is specifically designed for students with significant learning challenges. This complete program includes everything you need for a school, self-contained classroom, tutoring, or homeschool to make a classical Christian education accessible for any child. To learn more, visit us at simplyclassical.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Simply Classical, a beautiful education for any child.
Hope for Healing, April 19th and 20th in Irvine, California, is a conference designed to address the issue of gender brokenness and more. Hope for Healing is for high school and college youth as well as adults. Join Y for Life and Lutherans for Life to find out what makes your body a good gift and what happens when gender is disordered. Learn more and register at yforlife.org. Hope for Healing, April 19th and 20th in Irvine, California. Y4life.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of missed recruitment goals in the U.S. military. Possible religion angles there. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow on communications and culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. So, Terry, would it be a good idea, since there's kind of a religious institution very broadly defined in the U.S. military of the chaplaincy, for a reporter to start talking to people who say, like, I'm not signing up again. I joined and I'm not signing up again, to get some answers from the military chaplains?
That's an excellent suggestion, and it's one that, frankly, you can't have studied the military over the last 40 to 50 years without looking at questions related to the chaplaincy. because military chaplains are a fascinating church-state case in the sense that you're not supposed to be spending tax dollars to espouse a kind of official state religion. Yet at the same time in the military, you're sending people into combat and into circumstances where their lives are at risk and they may literally die with no clergy nearby. So the military has long wrestled with how do they handle religious diversity in the military. I mean, trying to imagine the situation on a submarine, for example, or an aircraft carrier. One of the things that I began covering several decades ago is with the declining number of Catholic priests in America, you've had a declining number of those who are willing or the right age and fitness to serve as military chaplains. So you frequently have ended up in situations where you have a Roman Catholic soldier, let's say a traditional Roman Catholic soldier, serving in a unit where his chaplain is a female Episcopal minister or an ELCA minister or something. Can that Catholic soldier go to a service, a Eucharistic service, led by a female Episcopal priest? Well, they can attend. Should they receive communion? No. Here's another question. Can that soldier go to a female priestess for confession? No. Is it frequently a good idea to go to confession before going into military situations in parts of the world where you could be injured or killed? It's a requirement. I mean, how much military art have you seen involving soldiers who are lined up to go to confession before going into battle, knowing that they conceivably could die? Well, the Catholic priesthood is a very important player in military chaplaincy, but an even bigger player is the Southern Baptist Convention, the Assemblies of God, the world of Pentecostal churches, and now the massive growing world of non-denominational evangelicalism. Well, if that's who are in the zip codes in America that tend to produce soldiers, can the U.S. military afford to do something that drives away traditional Catholic, Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, Assemblies of God? Can you afford to run away those people as chaplains? And the answer is no, but that's exactly what we have seen in recent decades, specifically over military policies requiring chaplains to lead marriage preparation classes and classes on saving marriages and healthy marriages. And yet people are being required to do this on military bases in ways that do not discern any difference between traditional marriages and same-gender relationships or marriages. Well, you put a Southern Baptist under that circumstance, and it's not going to happen. You had a situation with Eastern Orthodox chaplains in which they were required to do services with gender-neutral pronouns for God, because you're trying to lead a service on a base where you're going to have a wide variety of people attending the service. Not just the Orthodox, not just Catholics, whatever. Well, the problem there is that Eastern Orthodox clergy can't do a service in which God is not referred to in a Trinitarian fashion as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Their bishops are not going to let them. So consider that just a condensed symbol for what other denominations are facing. If you can't have Southern Baptist clergy, how is that going to affect Southern Baptist military families when it comes to whether or not they want their children to go into the services? Roman Catholics, are they likely to send their children into service in the military if they can't have a Roman Catholic hearing their confessions and serving as their spiritual father while they're in the military? Well, how do you have Catholic chaplains or Missouri Synod Lutheran chaplains? How do they serve when they're not in a position to advocate the moral doctrines of the new military of the United States. So you could see how all of these issues end up coming together. And I'll add one more layer to it. I wrote this question out the following way. Can Episcopalians and mainline Protestants in New York and New England, now think of that region, think of the birth rates we've been hearing in that region. Can Episcopalians and mainline Protestants in New York and New England produce as many children to serve as soldiers, as Baptists in Texas in the Bible Belt, as Assemblies of God in the Bible Belt, as the Church of God in Christ, a major African-American Pentecostal denomination? Well, the mainline Protestants are in numerical decline. The world of non-denominational evangelicalism, Pentecostalism, is on the rise. Where are the children going to be? In what zip codes are they going to be? In what pews are they going to be? And are you going to be able to recruit them to a military that actively opposes the doctrines of their faith? Well, I don't see how in the world you don't talk to military chaplains about those issues and how it would reflect or how it would affect the recruiting patterns we're seeing. I don't see how you can't ask that question.
Finally, with about a minute here, Terry, given the fact that generally speaking, the United States is in kind of a demographic decline, fertility rates are below replacement, the military is going to get smaller, and maybe the goalposts will get moved, the recruitment goals will get moved. But that's another enormous story with anybody who wants to talk about any of the implications of the U.S. military, isn't it? About 1 minute.
Right. And at some point, you also have to ask about mental healthness, physical healthiness in terms of whether you have children who are prepared to serve in the military, that they even meet the minimal standards. And like you said, then do you move the goalposts to make the standards different? But I'm going to come back to this basic question. Can you build a military recruiting primarily from groups who in the past have not supported the U.S. military to the same degree? And I mean people on the moral, cultural, and religious left. And can you build a military that actively opposes the beliefs of the zip codes, the family structures, and the churches that have historically produced numerically the most people to serve in the military? How do you make that equation add up? And why aren't journalists asking about it?
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow on Communications and Culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate. And for 2 decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. On the other side of the break, we'll be in John chapter 5, Jesus healing a man at the pool of Bethesda. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc. Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.